From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And it's based around this culture of love, helping one another, helping your fellow Sacramentan, helping your fellow Sacramento entrepreneur. And we do that on our show through sharing stories of winning and how to win. And today's show is going to be more on the unique side. I'm really excited about today. We're going to be talking to Dr. Luke Wood. He is the president of California State University, Sacramento. And not only are they doing very innovative things over at Sac State, but this guy is changing. He's only been there 2 years, but he's changing the way I think people are viewing Sac State. And I was recently pulled up a Business Journal article, and one of the things it said on the cover of the Business Journal was that you are growing the value of a degree at Sac State. So I'm glad to hear that. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, there's so many things I could go over today, but maybe we'll start with, I have this philosophy that success breeds success, right? So if somebody is successful, a lot of times that can sort of trickle down to other people. And there's nobody I don't think as important as our young people and making sure that they end up getting off on the right foot and have successful lives. And that's not only good for them and their families, but it's good for our community.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, our region, 2.3 to 2.6 million people, and how many of them have someone in their family who's went to Sacramento State? You know, our whole region's got really two major universities, right? It's us and UC Davis, and we serve two very different populations of people. And so what we do and what they do is absolutely essential if you think about, you know, what education can do for economic development for our local region. And so, you know, I would say that first and foremost, I see Sac State's role as creating opportunities for upward socioeconomic mobility.
Okay.
Right? For students to be able to go in at, you know, from a low income family and be able to come out and have a job, have a degree that's worth something, be able to create a better life for themselves and for their families, to impact the entire region, but also to have like an ethos of being like community centered. And so we're changing Sacramento State in that way to focus more so on those labor market outcomes, one, but also I think it's really so about like elevating the value of that degree, right? Mm-hmm. Going to Sacramento State so first of all, I can say this. I've been at Sacramento State. I've been at San Diego State. I've been at Arizona State. I've been at Lincoln Memorial University. And unquestionably, I think that the best instruction that I have seen is at Sacramento State.
Wow.
Right? And so we already have an amazing product, if you would say, right? It's already an amazing product. And so part of what I've been like trying to emphasize as president is like, how can we take that product and show not just the region, but the nation that we're someone to reckon with? Because there's nothing that separates us from any other institution except for our belief in what we can achieve. And so for us, we will be the flagship of the California State University system, and it's going to happen in a short time.
Wow, I can see why you are back and recruited. They recruited you. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. Started in 2023, July 16, 2023.
And so this was sort of a welcome back moment because you went to Sac State, and then that's probably helpful at some level because you knew your way around the campus. But maybe talk to us about like that first little bit where you're coming on and you're, you know, you're back, you're in the saddle, I guess, for the first time, but you're in charge.
Yeah. I mean, it was wild coming back. So first of all, you know, I went to school at Sac State, as you said, got my bachelor's degree at Sacramento State, got my master's degree at Sacramento State. My twin brother, Joshua, went to school with me at Sacramento State. My wife, I met her at Sacramento State. She was a student at Sacramento State. So like I got two degrees and a marriage license from Sacramento State, you know, so I got a lot of that over the campus. And I would say that some of the most important mentors and encouragers that I've had in my life were the faculty at Sac State, people who I've stayed in touch with even to this day. But for me, this has always been the goal. You know, I often tell people that by the end of my first year of college, I was obnoxious in telling everyone that I was going to be the president of Sacramento State. And I've worked my entire life, my entire career to get to this moment because I know what this campus can be because, it, again, it already has amazing things happening. It just needed someone who wanted to help share that story on a national level.
Wow, that's amazing that you were imagining that several years ago and now the dream has come true and really, really inspiring. Kind of curious, though, because in entrepreneurship or in winning in life, I coach football, so even in football coaching, it's like the big question is, what are you going to do with what you got, right? So, okay, what do I got? What are the, I guess, strengths and weaknesses that I'm dealing with? And so I imagine you come into Sac State, and I guess I'm assuming you saw a group of faculty that were doing a good job. That was part of you kind of indicated that the product there is really good. Was it good when you came in, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, okay. it was already good. So, okay. And it was good when I was a student there, and it got a lot better even since I've been away. And I have to, you know, give respect to those who came before me, you know, Alexander Gonzalez, Don Girth, Robert Nelson. I mean, I think they did a great job as president, but also Sacramento State benefits from having strong faculty leadership too. And so you put those two things together, faculty who really want to be at the highest level of excellence, but also remain committed to the community and to serving students from the community. Like that's a special thing that you don't always see in other places.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the students. So the faculty and the team associated with it and the history has got a lot of value for sure and how to allocate that. But who are these people that are coming to Sac State? Could you give just maybe a description of maybe the demographic, age and locality? Are they coming from out of the area? Those kind of things.
Yeah. So Sacramento State is as of today, 31,000 students, right? Okay. So we're big and we have grown and we continue to grow in an environment where nearly all the Cal States in Northern California are declining in enrollment except for San Jose State. So first of all, we're different in that way, not just in terms of separating ourselves out from other institutions in Northern California, but across the country, right? There's so many institutions of higher learning. The public perception of the quality of a degree has been questioned, and sometimes for good reason, right? But that's not what we do at Sacramento State. Like we teach you how to know the research, we teach you how to know the theory, but more importantly, we teach you how to put that into practice. Because like when someone hires an engineer, they don't want to spend the first 6 months training them how to be an engineer. But at Sacramento State, you know that you hire one of our graduates from engineering, computer sciences, health sciences, political science. They can go to work day one. Mm-hmm. And that's because we have a very hands-on focused education. And again, that's a different thing than exists. And so I think that what we do is we represent what institutions of higher learning should be doing, which is preparing students for their futures, to be civically engaged, to be hardworking, and to essentially be positive producers in an environment where there's extreme competition.
So this 31,000, they come from a lot of different backgrounds. You referenced earlier that some are maybe from maybe a socioeconomic lower place than others. I think as compared to maybe Davis or Stanford, you're dealing with the, you know, the regular Joes and regular James.
It is the common person. As I said, 31,000 students. Primarily students who are lower income, primarily students who are either the first in their families or among the first in their families to go to college. We're 37% Latin A, Latinx, Latino. Mm-hmm. We're 22% Asian or Pacific Islander with a high population of students who are Southeast Asian, so Hmong, Cambodian, Laotian, Vietnamese. We have the largest population of Native American students in the Cal State system and by far the largest population of Black students in public higher education in California. We are the Black serving institution in the state. No one serves more Black students than we do.
I wonder why that is.
You know, I think it's for a number of different things. So one, if you think about Elk Grove, if you think about Stockton and the Bay Area, we tend to pull strongly from those areas. But okay. Then even just around like even like our close region, we still have a high density. The second reason I think is that we've been really intentional about sharing what we're going to do for Black student communities. So, you know, we have a recognition from the state of California as the first and only currently Black serving institution in the state. We have an honors college that's designed for students who are interested in learning about Black history, life, and culture. We have 430 students in that college. We started it a year ago.
Yeah.
We're at 430 today.
Wow.
Like, that kind of growth doesn't happen. You know, we have just been intentional about, no matter what the student community is, about trying to create a good experience for them. So whether they're from the Black community, whether they're from the Latinx community, whether they're Republicans, whether they're from the Jewish community, whether they're from the Muslim community. Like, for me, what our job is to do is to design ourselves to be responsive to the needs of each individual student, their individual identities and what they care about. And I think that that's what's distinguishing us. At the same time, you've got a lot of institutions that are moving away from this focus on embracing, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as it's oftentimes referred to. But for us, we're like, we see ourselves as a North Star of the West. So when all these other places across the country are shutting down curriculum that focuses on diversity inclusion, closing down diversity inclusion offices, getting rid of chief diversity officers, we're doing the opposite. We got a Black Honors College. We have a Native American college that is just opened up. We have programs that are designed for every single demographic of students you could think, so that no matter who they are, no matter what community they come from, they can look at Sacramento State and be like, hey, that's a place I can not feel like a guest in someone else's house, but I can feel at home.
So you mentioned that in some institutions, people are questioning, in some parts of society, I should say, people are questioning the value of a degree today with the way society is changing. How do you measure that? Obviously, there's outcomes, but is there a way to put a dollar figure on that? Because people are getting in debt a lot of times when they go to college. And I'm sort of wondering, what makes it worth it besides, I mean, there's no, you can't put a value on confidence and the feeling of achievement. Of course, those are enormous for happiness and satisfaction. But in terms of like paying for itself, how do you think that through?
Well, you know, how I think it through, and actually there's been some great work done on this by the College Futures Foundation. They actually have a report called The Golden Door, where they analyze the return on investment. What are median earnings 3 years after graduation? What are median earnings 5 years after graduation? How long does it make for a student to make more than they paid for their degree? And fortunately, Sacramento State, we've been recognized as one of the top in the entire state. And because we're the top entire state, because California is oftentimes very cheap, much less expensive in comparison to other places, that makes us one of the top in the nation. So you can come to Sacramento State and enroll, tuition fees, you know, 10 grand. You look at most other institutions, you're paying $37,000 to $55,000 a year. So we're less expensive. We have education that's more relevant. It's more hands-on. We're in the one and only public university in the state capital of the fourth largest economy in the world. And what we're doing today is we're acting like it.
Yeah. And I think about your other constituents. I must imagine that you've been at the Carlson Center meetings with me a few times. And so you understand the value of entrepreneurship, the value of a strong local economy. And I have to imagine these jobs that are being, or these people that are coming through Sac State are really bolstering our workforce in a really productive way for the local business community.
Yeah.
How does that, I guess, set of relationships fostered within Sac State, and what role do you play in that?
Yeah, I mean, part of what I see my role as is being one of the people among many who should be engaged with industry and understand what is it that they're looking for. Because if we're graduating students who aren't industry ready simply because we haven't done our job and being responsive to industry needs, and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing for economic development. And then what will happen? They'll hire someone from another institution. And what I have seen is that we have particularly like really strong areas. I'm going to give construction management as a perfect example. It's in our College of Engineering and Computer Science. It's one of the best programs we have on campus. Those students, when they graduate, they get jobs and they get great jobs and they're ready to go. In fact, they're usually hired before they even graduate. But that's because we have a strong industry advisory board there. And that industry advisory board is meeting with the faculty and they're having conversations about, okay, what is it that we actually need them to know so they can be job ready? And so I feel like we have to be responsive to those needs. Now, at the same time, I also believe in a classic liberal arts education where students should be exposed to the arts, to the sciences, to history, and to all the things that make them a well-rounded person. But being well-rounded doesn't mean that you can't specialize. And we have to specialize if we think about how fast this world is moving. And that's why I'm very happy to announce that yesterday, our faculty senate approved a new degree program, a bachelor's that's in business in artificial intelligence management. So we now, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe we now have the first approved degree for a bachelor's degree in the Cal State system for AI. So I'm looking at that as an example of how we have a strong area, that department, Management Information Systems, which is one of our best departments on campus. And now they're leading the charge to make it so that our students are going to be prepared for the next phase, because artificial intelligence is changing everything. It's changing it rapidly. So merging AI in our College of Business, creating a bachelor's degree, creating a minor, that's what we should be doing.
That's special. Now we're kind of diving into sort of my world a little bit. You know, we do investments into startups, and most of them have something to do with AI. They're all technology driven at some level, but a lot of AI. We can think you got to be really asleep if you don't realize what AI is doing to the entire world right now. Yep. So we talk about this occasionally on the show and how it will change the world and what the jobs of tomorrow will look like. And even I think 25% of the open jobs right now in America, you need to have AI skills in order to just get the, just to qualify.
Yeah.
But thinking about this, I'm sort of wondering how you advise, if let's say we're talking to parents of I got grandkids from 1.5 to almost 15, right? So these people are going to be looking for jobs that that maybe exists today, but might look a little bit different. So as I think about what to explain to them, when you said the construction management, you sort of, I own a little construction company, and it kind of like hit at home for me, because the trades are going to be hiring a lot of people. There are going to be a lot of jobs in the trades, because we're going to be building out data centers and factories and all the different things associated with a lot of the AI changes and growth that's happening. So, but I'm kind of, besides construction and the trades, those are obviously going to be really good jobs for at least the next 10 years. But in AI, that's going to drive a whole new set of, what am I going to do when I go to work?
Yeah.
Well, how are you advising people, and what's your feeling for what's going to be available then, and what skills you need to know?
Well, I'm going to say that for a student who is going to be graduating from a college or university from now moving forward, if you don't have some level of proficiency with either the use or the development of AI, that you're probably not being prepared for the world. And that's why it was so important to us, for our College of Business to get this done. And I think that the minor that we have in it now, because it's a major and a minor, and I think a lot of students, regardless, if you're in political science, you should probably get a minor in this. If you're in healthcare, you should probably get a minor in this. I mean, there's not a single field that you can say, well, we put it right, I probably shouldn't be able to have this as an option. And so that's why that was so important to us, because, I've heard that, you've heard this quote probably said a million times by other people. It's certainly not from me, but you won't lose your job to AI. You'll lose your job to somebody who knows how to use it, mm-hmm. right? And so we have to prepare our students to be at the forefront so that we can be the leaders of tomorrow and we can support the workers of tomorrow from other institutions.
I love it. All right, let's talk about entrepreneurship a little bit. How do you, when you look at the world of entrepreneurship and innovation, how do you put a value on that in terms of where we're at in society?
I mean, it's the highest value. I mean, being entrepreneurial and being innovative, it doesn't really matter whether it's in business or any other sector. It's something that you need. And here's why. Like, you can get trained to do something today, but I think we can all agree how fast this world is moving. 5 years from now, your field may not even exist. So you got to be creative, you got to be innovative, you got to be entrepreneurial to be able to adapt, to shift, because if you're not at the forefront, then you're, you know, then you're going to be, it's going to be a problem. And so I feel like we have to train students how to think critically, how to be innovative, how to be entrepreneurial, because those are skill sets that are probably more important than a lot of other things you might learn in a general classroom, because those skills allow you to adapt to changing environments. And, you know, when environments change, you got, you know, three choices: move, adapt, or die. And we're going to teach our students how to adapt so that they can be the best of the best.
So you're managing this very complex set of issues and people and opportunities. And I'm sort of, and it's a state agency. So there's a governmental aspect for it. I've talked to a lot of your faculty and the people over there, and some of them were even a little bit, they didn't really even love the word entrepreneurship too much, but they loved the word innovation. So it was interesting how they navigated more to innovative mindset versus all the risk taking and stuff associated with maybe what might be intimidating about entrepreneurship. And I think that that was really interesting. But I sort of wonder, in terms of changing mindset within the faculty, right? So you're going to be counting on this team that you have to help drive these changes. It's not going to be just through the major of AI, right? You get an AI major. You need that running through the entire campus, this innovative mindset. How is that working and when you're working within a large bureaucracy? What are the challenges you face?
I mean, the challenges are immense because, you know, we are in a large bureaucracy. We are in, you know, a state agency that understandably, the state supports us. So therefore, we need to adhere to all the state policies, processes, mm-hmm. guidelines, codes, etc. It's incredibly complex getting anything done. And at the same time, that's okay.
Yeah,
because, you know, I mean, that's what I'm trained to do. You know, I was a student at Sac State. I spent 12 years at San Diego State. I think we did some pretty amazing things while I was there that I got to be part of. And so, there's different types of people in the world. Some people see the challenges of getting things done and they get overwhelmed and they stop. Me, I'm the kind of person, I see the challenge and, you know, I bite down on my mouthpiece and I go. So
okay, so you say mouthpiece, you're a boxer, is that right? Do you box in the past? Is that the mouthpiece reference, or is that football?
No, it's more boxing.
Okay.
So I see myself as a person who loves to box. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a boxer because I don't, you know, actively compete, though I have competed a few times. But I definitely train every day. And I definitely spar a lot. And that's my joy. That's my good spot. So you'll hear me use a lot of sports references for either combat sports or football or basketball, because I love sports. But I also think that there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from sports that make us better people. And so when, like, we're doing this big push, as you may know, at Sac State on athletics, but I don't see athletics as just intercollegiate athletics with our 21 intercollegiate teams. I see it as club sports, as recreational sports, as intramurals for the common student. And so I want everyone to be able to experience that, because what does sports do? I mean, you're a coach, it builds confidence, right? Bet. There's nothing that builds confidence more. And there's nothing that teaches you how to be a teammate better than being on a team where you have to basically play in a high stakes situation where your screw up could mess up somebody else and the entire team. I think that's healthy, and I want all of our students to be able to do that. So we're leaning in on sports as a way of building that kind of disposition ethos, but also because you have a lot of students this day and age who struggle with stress, anxiety, depression, and, you know, because our world is crazy. We live in a crazy world this day and age. But what's better than being able to go and be at Sacramento State and start your morning with Tai Chi in the quad? Or to go to the combat U rooms and participate in boxing, wrestling, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, or to be able to go and be in intramurals and play soccer or basketball. Like, those are the things that help us better prepare students to be their best selves inside the classroom, outside the classroom, but more so make it so that when a student graduates, they're a healthy person who can positively contribute to a business.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think back to maybe 100,000, I think back, I've read books like Sapiens and others that talk about the origination of man, and, you know, that hundreds of thousands of years ago, you know, we were all running around outside, right, before all the modern conveniences. And so if we can go back to getting outside, running around, competing, doing things that are healthy and building these tribes, if you will, that we can build through teams. To me, I feel like it is some of the most healthy things we can do. And especially when in today's society, as you sort of reference, we are many times stuck inside on one of our devices.
Yeah. And, you know, and of course, we want our students to be connected to technology. We want our students to be the most proficient in using it and understanding it. But we also want them to know when to shut it off. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's hard because I don't think a lot of institutions, you know, think about that. I think about that. And we have to better prepare our students to be more well-rounded. Being like this on your phone all day doesn't make you well-rounded. Yeah. But you know what? It's okay to do that for a little bit of time, as long as I know you're going out to the basketball court to play, and then you're going to student government to help run the campus, and then you're volunteering in the community to show that you have like a civically engaged mind, right? It's about that well-rounded student. And I think that's who we're building at Sacramento State. And here's a thing that distinguishes our students. I love our students because they have grit. They have resilience. You think about, again, as I mentioned, the demo of Sac State. First generation, low income, oftentimes students of color. Our students don't come from means. They come from the desire to grind and overcome incredible obstacles. That's why people want to hire our graduates, because when you have someone like a Sac State graduate, they care. They work hard. They have something to prove. They have a chip on their shoulder. Another reference here to sports is they box above their weight class, mm-hmm. and they usually do. And so, you know, we had the privilege of serving them, but we also had to change the way that we were thinking about how we were doing the work that we're doing. So I've been shifting the campus to more of an enterprise model. How do we generate revenue so we can provide the students with the best possible experience in an environment where the state is reducing their investment in higher education? Understandably, it's a state budget crisis. When we have things happening at the national level that's taking resources from campus, and yet at the same time, all these challenges are happening around us. But you walk on campus right now, what you'll see is joy. You'll see students who are experiencing, many of them for the first time in their lives, what it's like to be in an environment where there's hope and there's dignity.
That's cool. And so we've mentioned sports, and I think that for some people, that would be one of the more interesting parts of what's happening at Sac State. So maybe we can talk about maybe three sports. Let's start with talking about Combat U.
Yes.
We referenced Uriah as we were walking up here. He was the first guest on the Mark Haney Show, and I know, you know, if anybody doesn't know him, he's a world-class MMA fighter and coach and an entrepreneur, and he's a good buddy, a friend of the show, friend of the Growth Factory as well. Yep. And he's spreading that sport all over the place. And I believe what you're doing with Combat U is kind of a one of a kind at this stage. Is that right?
Yeah. No one's doing what we're doing. And that's an example of how a lot of the things you're seeing come out of Sacramento State, we're leading the nation. So I think that everyone who's probably listening to this can agree that MMA, mixed martial arts, is far more popular now than it was 30 years ago.
For sure.
And I think that most people can agree that that's not looking like it's going to stop anytime soon. And so what we wanted to do was to better prepare students who are interested in combat sports. And so here's how it all started. So we had a student who had just been accepted to Sacramento State. I had just been announced as president of Sacramento State. And all over my Instagram, you'll see things of me, you know, boxing or sparring or having a, you know, good time in the gym, right? Because that's, you know, that's part of my life. And so I got all these messages from students. Oh, I do jujitsu. I do wrestling. I do this, right? Just really excited that there's somebody who believes in martial mm-hmm. arts and believes in combat sports. But this one student said, hey, I'm coming to Sacramento State. I participate in MMA. And I told her that, hey, did you know that Uriah Faber's Ultimate Fitness is just right next to campus?
Yeah.
And her response was, yeah, that's why I'm coming. And so she was coming.
Oh, he had recruited her from out of the area.
Recruited her from India.
Sac State.
Yeah, she's coming to us from, she came to us from India. Wow. Right? And basically is an incredible mixed martial artist. Trains on campus, trains at Uriah Faber's Ultimate Fitness. Really is the student founder. Her and Ethan Krieger of Combat U. And we wanted to basically create this experience where students could come from all over the world and our local region and they could do wrestling, they could do boxing, they could do jiu-jitsu, they could do Muay Thai, and they could do mixed martial arts mm-hmm. at Sacramento State. What institution do you know of in the country that has live MMA events on campus with students competing with students from other universities?
That's incredible.
Where boxing events happen on a regular basis in our local community featuring our students from Sacramento State. What campus do you know that you can walk up to a student and say, hey, you're really talented. Did you know that you could earn a scholarship to come to Sacramento State and be a mixed martial artist? We have a different philosophy because we want to be at the forefront. The vision for this is someday, and someday very soon, like maybe even like next month, you'll see an event at Sacramento State where there'll be an MMA and they'll be announcing and fighting out of the red corner is a student from San Jose State, and fighting out of the blue corner is a student from Sacramento State. Let's see which state institution has the best combatants. Let's go. What we're doing.
That's so exciting. If that catches on, to know that it started here with you and Uriah and this student that had some curiosity based upon your Instagram, that is so cool.
Let me tell you one quick, two more quick things. I'll keep it quick here. So first, that student is now our student body president. So our student body president, she is a mixed martial artist. She's been heavily involved in the Carlson Center, doing hackathons and being part of the programming that's going on there. And it is the best example of the promise that we can represent to the community. And the second is, I also got to acknowledge the amazing things that are happening with the boxing program. So Brandon Gonzalez, who's an amazing fighter, professional fighter. You know, obviously, he's one of the owners of Flawless Boxing, which is, you know, amazing boxing gym in our local area. And he brought in Andre Ward. Mm-hmm. And now Andre Ward is the general manager for Sacramento State Boxing. And we got more surprises coming, but I'm gonna hold off on those for today.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk football. It's football season. You brought in, this is an interesting thing about you, is you are bringing in very well-respected people, regardless of where they live. You brought in somebody that was the football coach from UNLV. They're now the Sac, which is a very high-powered program.
Yeah.
And now they're running Sac State. Maybe a little bit of that vision for what's going on with, let's say, the new coaching staff and what you see in terms of football, which is, I guess, probably the biggest of all sports.
Yeah. So first of all, let me just say, I cannot take credit for anything in alone when it comes to athletics. I got to give credit to our athletic director, Mark Orr. He's the best of the best. Honestly, he could be anywhere in the country.
And he's a local guy. He was on my show 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, he's a local guy. He played football at Cal. He is very focused on the students as students first, even before they're athletes. He's just like, me and him, like, we immediately synced when I first met him, because he's ambitious. He wants to create something better for the students. And he also knows that we have some great programs. And look at what he's built. I mean, we've had a great football program. We've had great baseball program. We've got great volleyball program, women's soccer. I mean, there's so many things that he has built to this very, very high level. But football, as you mentioned, is marquee. So, you know, we were very grateful that Brendan Marion, our head mm-hmm. football coach, came to us from UNLV, runs the Go-Go offense, which is just an amazing, exciting offense. You got to see what that looked like in the last game, particularly in that last quarter. We're elevating Sacramento State to a different level. So let me explain. So there's D1 football, right? Division I. But Division I football is broken up into two different groups. There's FCS football and there's FBS football. FBS football is higher than FCS football, but they still play each other. So as an FCS team, which is what we are currently, sometimes we'll play in an FBS school. Like when we just played, was it last year before? We played Stanford mm-hmm. and beat Stanford at Stanford with our fans from Sacramento yelling louder than the Stanford fans. Just saying, Stanford. So so that's that delineation, but we're ready to move from FCS to FBS, from being a great show to being at the highest show. Mm-hmm. And I think it's what our region deserves. If you look in the Cal State system, you got Fresno State. They've got a great football program, have for many years with Bulldogs. You got San Diego State. You know, obviously, I spent a lot of time there with the Aztecs, and they've got, you know, great football as well, particularly great basketball there. But in Sacramento State, we haven't been talked about in that same way because we've been FCS. Even though when we play FBS teams, we are in the game, oftentimes winning. And so it was an opportunity for us to elevate to this next level. Brendan was a piece of that. His leadership has been phenomenal. He's brought together the best FCS recruiting class in the country. We opened up a new football facility in Folsom Hall, 30,000 square feet with football offices for the coaches, player lounge, etc. We've redeveloped how we're doing athletic training for the students, redeveloped how we're doing academic support for our athletes. And so it's been an all-in effort to elevate us to the next level. And here's why. When you talk about a national brand, what separates us from Louisiana State? What separates us from Alabama State? What separates us from not North Dakota State, that'd be a bad example, even though they're a great football program because they're FCS. What separates us from Michigan State? The only thing that does is not our academics, because I would say our academics are at a higher quality. It's not our budget, because oftentimes our budget is larger. The only thing that separates us is that they are known for great athletic programs. And we've had this amazing athletic program, but it hasn't been able to have that exposure. And here's what makes that even more sad. We're in a top 20 media market. A top 20 media market. And we are the only top 20 media market in the entire nation that doesn't have an FBS team. The only one. So why not us?
Why not us? Well, recruitment is such a key part of that. You've talked about some of the things you've done to change the brand and to help with the recruitment with the right facilities and so on. I want to go to basketball, and then I want to talk about like what else you're doing for recruitment. So, Mike Bibby, Shaquille O'Neal, what's with that? I mean, how do you land those guys?
You know, Mike has been interested in being part of the Sacramento State coaching staff for some time. Obviously, we had a transition year, transition there, and it created an opportunity for us to bring in the absolute best of the best. So obviously, people know him as an NBA legend, which he is. But in addition to that, he's coached, you know, high level high school basketball. He's coached in the G League. He's coached NBA Summer League. So he's got this wealth of coaching experience, and wanted to be at Sacramento State and basically come back and give back to the community that gave to him. And in many ways, I kind of see a similarity there with both myself and with Mark Orr. Like, he could be anywhere, but he chose to be in Sacramento. And that's because I think that what we're doing right now is that we're showing people that we can win. And like in my mind, like, you know, I think we have a lot of different slogans for the university. But in my mind, like, our real slogan is we build winners, because that's what we're doing. We build students who will go on to win in their careers and create better options for other people. And now we're building athletic teams that will be the best. And historically, our basketball team has not been as good as it could have been. There's been years where it has, you know, with Jamil Pugh and some others have done, who've been great on the court. You know, we've had great players, even like Jacob Holt last year. But now we have an entire team of some of the most elite basketball players in the country. We've got Shaq.
Shaq's son's on the team too, isn't he?
Shaq's son is on the team.
Wow.
And not only is he a great basketball player, he's a great human being. Right. And you've got Mikey Williams on the team. You got Bear Cherry on the team. Right. And you've got Teat on the team. And like, I could go on, like, just an amazing. And everybody's talking about our men's basketball team. But you know what they're sleeping on? Women's basketball.
Oh,
because women's basketball, right, has elevated to a national stage in a way over the last 5 years that it hasn't been. And I'm going to promise you this. All of our teams are going to do well this year. But I'm going to put my money to say that the best team that we'll have out of Sacramento State this year is women's basketball.
I love it. Now, you're building, I've seen talks, I've seen it in the newspaper or whatever online, that there's talk of a new stadium for football.
Yeah.
And it, where are we at in that effort?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a stadium on campus that we'll continue to use as a track and field facility. We're going to end up redoing the track pretty soon here and really just having that be the focus of that space. And, you know, football, you know, pending some, you know, finalization of some things that we're working on with Cal Expo, we'll go to Cal Expo. And the reason that we wanted to football to be at Cal Expo is like, I have a list of like 30 reasons why we really need to be there. And let me just say this. I know that there are some alumni who might be seeing this and saying, man, but why can't you just be on campus? And and here's why. Our underground infrastructure on campus is dilapidated. Sewer, electricity. For us to be able to renovate the existing facility also requires us to improve infrastructure that is kind of beyond our financial means right now. That's one piece. Second, Cal Expo is closer, very close to campus. You know, it's 2 miles from campus, so it's very quick to get there. There's a bike trail that goes right there.
Here in Rockland, slightly more convenient for me.
Yep, there you go. But the other part of it, and probably the biggest part, is what is our vision for the future? Because the most that we're going to be able to build on campus is 25,000. 25,000, the reason for that, and that's seats, is because you have only two entrances to campus, which means you have two entrances, but you also have then two exits. That's it. The whole university, that's it. And so many people have tried, you know, wanted to go to a football game and they've sat on the 50th freeway even before there was all the construction that was going on there, just sitting waiting. But we have a bigger vision for the future. I want Sacramento State to be, when you talk about the best football programs in the nation, Sacramento State's going to be mentioned.
Sac State could get ranked.
Yeah.
Have we ever been ranked in the top 20?
For FCS, but not for FBS.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're currently, I think, 21 for FCS right now, and we've been much higher before. But we could go 30,000. We could go 40,000 eventually at Cal Expo. Why? Because there's so many exits. We share a lot of our same police force. There is just it, and they're a state agency. How about this? How about a message to the people of California that two state agencies can work together to accomplish something that's good for the public, that benefits both agencies, that benefits the public good for a lower cost, and everybody wins?
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, that's super nice to hear. It sounds like there's an agreement in place that is in the process of being fully executed.
Yeah. So we're at the point where we have, and there's been a lot of work that's been done. We're at a point where essentially we're negotiating terms right now with Cal Expo. I have to say that their board has been phenomenal to work with. Their CEO, Tom Martinez, has been phenomenal to work with. It's not just about working with something that makes sense for now, because 100 years from now, guess what? Sac State will be here. 100 years from now, Cal Expo State Fair will be here. And so it's about having partners that can stand the test of time. And as two state agencies, the ability for us to work together, they can go out for a revenue bond. We can go out for a revenue bond, meaning that there's more opportunities for more resources as well. It's also an opportunity to engage those who are policymakers, because now it's two state agencies that are working together. So there's a lot of benefits for being at Cal Expo. And I'm excited for what the future will hold. We got a lot of surprises in store, but I can't release them all today.
All right. So, you know, we got about 5 or 10 minutes left here. So let me sort of wind it down. About 10 minutes before the show, I started more dialing in what we might talk about today. So thank you for bearing with me and my sort of roundabout way of asking questions. One of the things I did is I texted two people about 10 minutes before the show started. I texted your brother, Josh, and I texted Michelle Willard. And she sent me, so you're wearing this hat now that's sort of, you're saying that's a throwback hat. It's different. It's a different emblem than the current Sac State logo.
Yeah.
You're bringing that out now as part of, is that going to be the part of the new brand? Are you test marketing it?
You know, it's not that it's going to be part of the new brand necessarily. And it's not that we're test marketing it. It's that all of our athletic teams use this, the current athletic logo, except for one. baseball. Mm. So I'm wearing this hat actually to represent baseball because we have a phenomenal baseball team. Our coach Reggie is literally one of the best in the country. And we just moved baseball from the Big Sky to the Big West because they're a great baseball conference. And so it's also recognizing that a lot of people talk about football, a lot of people talk about men's basketball, but we're killing it in baseball. We're killing it in track and field. We're trying to invest in all of our sports because every single one of them walking around is a representative of our university.
Well, it always amazes me, or it is amazing to me today, the enormity of how I would view the role of the Sac State president, yet you are able to get down to the most basic, I guess, nuances of the job. And so I'm going to play this little tape. So I texted Michelle. I kind of set that up. I texted Michelle Willard, who you work with, right?
Yeah.
She's an employee of Sac State. She works pretty closely with you, is that right?
Oh, yeah, very closely.
How's she doing, by the way?
Oh, she's phenomenal. Okay. So first of all, let me just say, and this is for Barry Broom, if he's watching, we proudly stole her from the Greater Sacramento Economic Council because she's phenomenal. And basically, it's that whole idea, how do we transition to an enterprise model? How do we transition to focusing more on economic development as an institution? And so bring someone who has a background in economic development to run those efforts on campus. And so she's our chief of external relations and an amazing human being. I love working with
her. Well, since you referenced Barry Broom, I'll ask this question as relates to that. So the first time Barry came on my show was right when GSEC started, around the same time we started our show about 10 years ago, and he was new. And I'm like, what's your leadership style? And he kind of looks at me with this like rough face because he's like a wrestler, tough guy kind of thing from Cleveland.
Yep.
And he says, all out, all in, face down in the blood. Right. And he just gives me this look. I'm like, oh man, this guy is intense. What's your leadership style?
Bite down on my mouthpiece.
Oh, I love it. Bite down on the mouthpiece. That's awesome.
And go in.
Okay. So I texted Michelle. I set this up. He said, ask it. I said, what should I ask him? He says, ask him about college kids teaching him new lingo recently and him getting completely wrong. He's now the old guy. They just did this social media post. So I'm going to play this real quick and get your reaction when you watch this tape.
Hi, everyone. Today, we're here with President Luke Wood, and today is the first video of the Behind the Desk series. Today, we're going to be asking President Luke Wood some slang words that students use every day, and he's going to try to guess the meaning of them. You think you can keep up?
I'm going to try. Let's go.
The first word that you're going to be trying to guess the meaning of is cooked.
Like, I cooked a meal? Like, on that play, he got cooked.
That was pretty good. Your next word is tea.
I could drink some tea and then get the tea about what's going on at the same time.
That makes sense. Which tea definition are you going to go with, though?
Tea is like you're getting in on like the gossip about what's going on, like the drama. Like, I want to hear the tea, all the tea.
It's kind of like the old version of tea, like 2 years ago. Tea means like cute. Like, oh, okay, your outfit look tea.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. This hat is tea.
Okay, that hat is tea. What team is that?
That's Sac State. This is the first logo that we had for athletics here at Sac State.
Next. Phrase is clock it.
Something that's good, like, oh yeah, that's awesome, clock it.
It's kind of close, like this.
Go like this? Okay.
If you say something like, pineapples on pizza is the best, clock it.
By the way, pineapples on pizza is the best.
It is, I agree. Yeah. Your next word is going to be rent-free.
Their drama is living rent-free in your head?
Yes.
Okay.
He got that one. That was really good. Hey. He knew that one. Clock that was it. Good. Clock it. Last and final word is going to be chopped.
I think I know this one a little bit better because my daughter told me this morning that my hair was chopped on the way out the door. And I said, is that a good thing? And she said, no.
Oh, wow.
Chopped is like something that looks bad or is not good.
You don't got a haircut right now?
No, I don't. That's okay, why I'm wearing the hat. I'm growing out the fro, right? In that in-between stage when you're growing out a fro and it don't look right. Yeah, so I'm just...
Last challenge of the day. You're going to choose any of these words that you learned today and try to use it in a sentence.
Sac State about to win this football game. Clock it.
Clock it.
Clock it. That's like put it in the books, right?
Yeah. Clock is like it's a good thing. Like, hey, you know, being on this podcast was amazing. This is an amazing show. Clock it.
Clock it. Ah, I love it.
Right.
I've never heard that before. I love that. I've got my youngest grandkids are like almost 15 and I haven't heard her say that, but I'm going to start using that now and see what happens. So I appreciate Michelle.
Okay. So a couple of days ago, I go home after learning this word from the students. Right. And the first thing I do is I see my 16-year-old. And of course I make it as cheesy as possible. I say something and I go, clock it. Biggest eye roll ever, right? But okay. She was also okay. Respect, oh, hey, respect. Yeah. You got one word down. All right.
I love it. And then so I texted your brother, and he said, "Let's see what he says here." This is Josh Wood. He does a lot of economic development stuff around the region and beyond. And he says, "Ask him about his love for sports and growing up." Let's see. Ask him about the funny one, him and his wars with the administration. When he was a student.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. You were a little rebellious as a kid.
Let's just say that I was passionate about being in this position because I had ideas about what I thought we should be doing. And I was very vocal in sharing those ideas with the campus leadership. And as a student, I certainly had an oppositional relationship with campus leadership. And now it's interesting coming back as president is some of those individuals who I was, battling with are some of the biggest supporters I have.
That's cool. He also said, he said he's an above average bureaucrat and that he's proud of you. And then he wrote LOL. What would you say about your brother?
So those who don't know, so Josh is my twin brother. He's 3 minutes younger than me. He will tell you that he's 3 minutes older than me. It's disputed. And, he's a great human being. He is, passionate about Sacramento State. People see him on campus. And I think sometimes they think like, oh yeah, he's there and he's engaging because of me. No, it's because he's been an engaged alumni. He was a student body president at Sacramento State. He was on the CAP radio board for a while. He was on the UEI board for a while. Like he's been very involved in Sacramento State for many years. And so he also is very involved in the SAC-12, or at least he was mm-hmm. before they transitioned off of that and, helping us elevate our athletic programs. So, I root for him. He roots for me. We could not be more similar and we could not be more different. And that's what makes it fun.
That's so cool. Let me give you the last word here. And maybe there's some thoughts around the impact that you want to make, the longer term vision, what your hopes and dreams are for Sac State and the students in our region.
Yeah, the long term vision for Sacramento State is for us to cement ourselves as the most important and influential university in the state of California. We are in the state capital. We have the ability to engage the leadership of this state, which obviously doesn't just influence the state, but influences the entire world in a way that no one else can. So earlier on, you asked me a question about like, how'd you think about the strategic positioning of Sacramento State? Well, we're in the state capital. We have a hands-on focused education. We have great athletic programs and we have great programs, particularly in management information systems, architecture, et cetera. So everything that you see us doing right now is we're taking our strengths and we're leaning in on them. And so far, it's working.
Luke Wood, Dr. Luke Wood, thank you for joining me on the show. I know it's not easy for you to get out here and make time like this. You've got so many things, but yet you still made time for us. So thank you on behalf of all us entrepreneurs out there. Appreciate what you're doing. Keep it up.
All right. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
We'll bite down on that mouthpiece.
Bite down on that mouthpiece. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.